I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. But I know one thing, I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the God wants me to be. Oh, let's sing that one more time. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. But I know one thing, I'm not what I used to be. Hallelujah. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for I want to be, God wants me to be. Oh, give me strength, Jesus, give me strength as I run this race, to stay on the path no matter what I face. Jesus Christ in my heart, feel the change growing from the start. Who can bring a clean thing out of the unclean? None but Jesus Christ. Call him on the scene, Lord, make me anew. Oh, I'm not this morning, Lord. I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. Well, I know one thing, I know what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for I want to be what God wants me to be. Feel in my life, it's a two-horse race, the black and the white. Lord, I must keep pace. You will win this race. The choice is yours, the one you feed the most. He who began a good work in you is faithful to finish. His word is stolen in your heart. Lord, have your way. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. But I know one thing, I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for I want to be what God wants me to be. For I want to be this morning, for I want to be what God wants me to. Make me more like you, Jesus. Amen. Sister Shanaz can come and testify. Hallelujah. Amen. How wonderful it is to hear the testimonies of the saints. Amen. If God can do something in our lives and we can come and testify in his house, it's a wonderful thing. Amen.
Hello, everyone. How are you? First of all, I want to thank you, Uncle George. Today is a very special day for me, and just like to tell you all that it's been a very long journey for me throughout my life. It hasn't been easy with me and my family. I'm sorry.
Amen. Amen.
Sorry. I've been so difficult throughout my life with my parents, you know, and
Hallelujah.
I'm a very emotional person, so but it's very hard for you to tell because, you know, I'm a very confident person usually. But yes, like I was saying, throughout my life, I've been very difficult. Growing up, I've been very stubborn, complicated, you know. And but growing up, the one thing I've always known is that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is my God.
Hallelujah.
He is the only God that I've ever known. Even throughout my life, I've seen other people worshiping other gods, but I've never once looked that way. I've always looked towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And one thing I also want to say is that growing up, I've always had a very bad stammer, you know. Those of you who have known me from when I was young, I couldn't talk properly like how I'm talking now.
Hallelujah.
I could never speak like this, straight out. I would always, you know, it'll take me a while. But I thank God that that has gone by. As you
Hallelujah.
Can hear me now, I'm talking now properly.
Amen.
With no complications, and I thank the Lord for that. Because now the Lord has given me a gift. I have now gotten a job. I'm now the new receptionist at the Jury's Inn Hotel, Christ Church. It
Hallelujah.
Is a full-time job, permanent. Thank you. And I'm so grateful to have this job because, well, like I said, it's full-time, it's permanent, and I've been waiting for this job for a very long time.
Hallelujah.
Ever since I started college, I've been wanting a job, needing a job, but it hasn't come. So, unfortunately, the job came now when I was already planning on going to college, back to college, because since there was no job coming, you know, I planned to do aviation in DIT, but unfortunately, it didn't work out. I didn't get that option. They gave me tourism marketing instead. So everything wasn't working out as planned as how I wanted it to, but somehow the Lord gave me this job now, last minute. And I'm so grateful because now I can finally start my life somewhere, be independent, help my family. And I've learned so much from this journey. And I would like to thank everyone who has helped me through it. People like Tara, Dion, Uncle George, Leanna, Brother Maxwell Sr. I want to thank everyone who has prayed for me, my parents, for
Hallelujah.
Being there, and for always for being strong as well, because as they'll tell you, I'm not a very easy person to get along with. But I want to thank them for their patience. And I want to thank everyone who has prayed for me, Brother Wilmore as well, and those who I don't know who prayed for me, but I want to thank you as well. You know, it is very important to me. And also I have a problem is that this work which I'm doing, I start very early, 8 o'clock. I'm a very weak person. I don't have a lot of energy in me. And it's a problem which I've had for a long time. The doctors, they don't know what's wrong with me yet. And it's very difficult for me to go on for hours without having a break, you know. So it's very hard on me because I'm so weak and I'm so tired, and at the end of the day I'm like nearly half asleep in work, and it's so complicated for me. So I want to ask you to continue to pray for me, to keep me strong and to keep me awake as well, because it's
Hallelujah.
Very important for me. But I want to thank you all. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, Sister Bibish comes. Amen. What a wonderful thing. I know a testimony of a man who couldn't speak. He would always be hitting things. But he became a great musician. All over the world, they're singing his songs. They wrote about 25 hymn books of his. You know, Andre Crouch, he always would have a hard time speaking. But he said when he started doing things for the Lord, he stopped stammering. So with God, all things are possible. Even her sleep issues, if she just puts her trust in God, God will deliver. Amen. Wonderful, Sister Shanaz. Hallelujah.
God bless you. As the dew panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You are desire and I long to worship Thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To You alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart desire. You
Amen. Let's stand and change the order of the service as we wait for the pastor to come. Take me past the outer courts into that holy place, past the blazing altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing your praise. Hunger and thirst after righteousness, but it's only found in your presence. Lord, take me into the holy soul. Take me in today, this morning, Jesus. Take me into the overland. Take me into the holiest of holies. Take the cool, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Take the cool, my Lord. Take the cool, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Take me this morning, Jesus. Take me into the holies of holies. Lord, take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the holies of holies. Take the cool, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Take the cool, my Lord. Take the cool, cleanse my lips. Here I am. We enter in into the temple. Give thanks to the Ancient of Days, to honor Him, for His mercies unto us. Give thanks to the Ancient of Days. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Shout, holy people, how excellent is thy name. Praise his name, for his mercies unto us. For his mercies to us. Give thanks to the Ancient of Days. Oh, we give you thanks, Lord. Give thanks to the Ancient of Days. Give thanks to the Ancient of Days. Give thanks to the Ancient of Days. Jesus, I want to die to my will. Be born anew in your grace. For as I am, I cannot please you. And all I want to see is your face. Oh, thine will be done. Done in my life. Oh, not my will, Lord, but thine be done. Be done in my life. For when I do good, when I do good, evil's present. In God's presence I'm a blessing. I must decrease, He must increase. Your power in me is there, I believe. For this you bled on Calvary. O bride's no longer a mystery. Oh, thine will be done. Be done in my heart. Not my will, Lord, but thine be done. Be done in my heart. When I do good, Lord, when I do good, evil's present. In God's presence I'm a. When I do good, Lord, when I do good, evil's present. In God's presence I'm a blessed. Oh, in God's presence. In God's presence, I'm a blessing.
The scripture says, when I would do good, evil is ever present. This is a warfare, friends, from beginning to end. You'll get up on a Sunday morning and it'll be a warfare, spiritually. But there's always a victory in Christ by the end. We do thank the musicians. Greetings to everybody this morning, saints. Brother Willie is asking, please, to pray for his family. They're traveling back from Zimbabwe Wednesday night. May the Lord be with him. Also, visitor, Sister Lily's cousin from Sligo, Sharofa, visiting with us. God bless you. Welcome to the house of the Lord today. Really grateful to the saints. We said it on Friday for prayer for last weekend. Greetings from the saints in Leeds and the saints in Leicester. It was a real fine time with the saints there, seeing some good old friends. Thank you for that. Brother Francois is requesting prayer there in Belgium with the family. Please pray for them. And just a quick update before we read the word about the relocation of the church. There's quite a few places at the moment which I think we do could quite safely say we do have places we could go to straight away if we wanted to. But there seems to be some real good things that Brother Wilmore and Brother David are pursuing at the moment. Now, there's one in Drumcondra, a pretty good one. The brothers went to see the place down Marrowbone Lane on Friday, spoke to the landlord there. So it is available to us if we want it, but it may not be perfect for us. So while we still have a little bit of time here, the brothers are just continuing to pursue to see if we can find something even better than the places that we found. So just requesting your prayer, but I do believe that everything is under control. We have this weekend, next weekend here, and then we're on short notice, 2 to 3 days. You know, I really do want to say one thing about our landlord. He's a real good man, Martin. I really pray that the Lord will bless him. Brother Wilmer was in touch with some place in Drumcondra, and the man phoned him and said, I've been speaking to your landlord, Martin Creedon, and he's speaking so well of you people. You know, and he says, I've had dealings with churches before and I've had trouble, he says, but Martin said that you've never given him any trouble. So it's good to have a good testimony, and may the Lord bless him as well. Let's open Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. 2 weekends ago we looked at fatherhood. We're having a look down the line of the family. Just want to continue a little bit down that line today. Proverbs 22 verse 6, a very familiar scripture. This is one which the prophet speaks of many times. Amen. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If you search in the message, the prophet doesn't say train up a child, he says bring up a child. And he speaks of it many, many times. And it's a great blessing. If ever you want to just do a study in the message, just go and search for that quote and go and read what the prophet said. You know, he says the most wonderful things about raising children. You know, the prophet, he was a real wonderful man, the way he could express things. Let's also read Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 23. Speaking about somebody who was raised up by faith. Verse 23, Hebrews 11, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. So at first, this faith is not speaking of Moses' faith, it's his parents' faith. Because it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, he was hid 3 months of his parents. So at first, it was his parents' faith. Because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandments. There was a serious amount of faith. Then it continues on, by faith Moses. Now the faith moves on to Moses. When he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Somebody influenced him to have that respect. Amen. Somebody influenced him to see life the way that he saw life. Somebody influenced him in such a wonderful way. And you will see many it was his mother. The prophet says it was his mother. Let's bow heads. Father, bring in your word unto thee once again upon this day. We just want to come and lay ourselves before thee. Father, that you would instruct us. Father, that you would help us and guide us. That as a father cares for his children, Father, how you care for us. And Father, how we long to be a reflection of thee. Forgive us for our shortcomings. Forgive us for our failings, Lord. Thank you that you equip us, Lord, with a spiritual armor. Thank you that you give us of your word. And Father, your holy unction. Thank you, Father, that revelation gives us prevailing power. Thank you, Father, that revelation, Lord, Father, it overcomes any situation. Bless each person here upon this day, I pray. Each father, each mother, each brother, each sister, our young people as well, them that have traveled, we pray that you'll just bless them wheresoever they would be upon this day. And our sister that will be traveling back with her family this week, Lord, we're so happy, Lord, we'll see her again. Father, may you bless her while she's there. And let her come back, Lord, Father, to give you the glory. Thank you for the testimony of our sister upon this day. Father, we pray that you just continue to work in her life and just touch her. That you may strengthen her, Lord. That she may come and give a testimony to say that at one stage I was weak, but in Christ now I'm strong. Father, knowing that in thee we can do all things. Father, we look into thee upon this day. Be glorified in your word. Feed our souls upon this day. Prayer has been prayed. Father, for them that have gathered in like manner, bless them, we ask. Father, as we come to the end of the service, may we say it was good to be in your house. We look to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. If I had to give it a title today, I just wanted to speak about your everlasting legacy. Now, your legacy, your inheritance that you're going to leave for your children. They were saying about Prince George, you know, the royal baby, the one that was born recently, that he's got a legacy, that if his parents pass away, they'll leave him approximately $1 billion worth of legacy. And that's a great legacy. Now, that's a great inheritance to be left by your parents. But that inheritance is going to pass away. Because he may not live to see that. This world, probably the way that it's going, isn't going to get to the stage that he's going to benefit from that which his father and his forefathers stored up for him. But to you and I as the sons of God, we have the greatest legacy that can be left to our sons and our daughters. We have faith. The faith that was delivered unto us, it's our responsibility. It's our sacred trust as mothers and fathers to impart this faith by the leadership of the Lord and by His grace, and leave this as a legacy to our sons and our daughters. Because if you think of Israel today, being in the homeland, and they've got the greatest scientists in the world, they've got the most feared military in the world, they've got, you know, so much technology and all these startups that they're paying billions of dollars for, starting in Israel, it's a legacy. They've inherited an identity. They've inherited a faith. They've inherited a way that they look at life, that they look at the world different from other people. And that didn't come from nowhere. That came from their fathers and their fathers and their fathers before them, handing down this faith to them. And that is the most precious of things that you can hand down to your children. Look in Psalm 78. We'll read from verse 4. This is David now speaking about the word of the Lord. And we've read it from verse 3. He speaks about the things that were delivered to him. He says in Psalm 78, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. So he's speaking about the word. He's speaking about what God had delivered to the nation of Israel as their message. So it says in verse 3, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. Ah, friends, would that not be wonderful if we could show our children the praises of the Lord? Amen. No, not just to be selecting certain scriptures when we need to discipline our children. You know, it's an easy thing to do that, but to show our children the praises of the Lord. Amen. And His strength. So we can show our children His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He hath established a testimony in Jacob. He's speaking about his forefather. And appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. So it says, these things were given to us that we may make them known to our children. That the generation to come, verse 6, might know them. Even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Friends, that's one thing about Israel. They know this line of what God has entrusted to them. They've been faithful. You have secular Jews, yes. But even those secular Jews, they know one thing, that they bring their children up to know their heritage, to know where they began, to know their spiritual origin, to know, you know, how God sent them a prophet, how God sent them Moses, and how God delivered them through the Red Sea, and God gave them a land, and God separated them from the peoples of the earth. If I had to ask you a question, I asked Gitan in the car coming down, can you name the person who won the Bible quiz student of the year last year in Israel? It's very big in Israel. They have these massive quizzes of the Bible. And out of the public schools, you want to try to guess and tell me the name of the boy who won it for Israel last year? No. His name is Netanyahu. He's the son of Benjamin Netanyahu. He won it, the best Bible quiz student of the year. And he's represented Israel now in the World Championship. And his father and his mother were there. I watched it, a huge crowd. It's like when here in these countries here in the West, where it's so perverted, we have X Factor and, you know, all these things. You know, Britain's Got Talent and stuff. In Israel, the big thing is the Bible quiz. That's the big thing. That's what they have the celebrities around. It's an amazing thing to see. They know their heritage. And when that young man with his father and mother sitting there, when he came and he received his prize, he said, I'm not the winner. He said, the greatest winner is the Bible. That's what he said. That was his testimony. He says, the greatest thing is the Bible. And then I went to see, but how did he get this? Because his father's a politician. And it's not his father. To the shame of his father, Benjamin Netanyahu, his father admitted, he said, out of all the questions my son answered today, I would only have got two of them right. But it was his father-in-law, Benjamin Netanyahu's father-in-law, his mother's father, the son, has raised him up from the age of 6, teaching him the scriptures, until he has become somebody who knows the word and knows his heritage. And friends, that's a precious thing. So maybe the man was so busy, but the mother took it upon herself and used the resource of her father to make sure that her children were instructed in the ways of the Lord. And God has blessed him in that kind of a way. And I thought of it. I said, you know, that is the sort of legacy you'd want to leave with your children. That faith that was once committed to you, that they may continue on with that faith. Listen what the prophet says, an influence. This is in Jeffersonville, 1962. He's speaking about influence. He says, you know what I think. He says, everybody has their own opinion, but one of the greatest presidents we ever had was Abraham Lincoln. Not because he was a Republican, but because what he was a godly man. He was raised to serve God. And he said, if there's anything that I want to give praise to, or that my life was influenced by, was a godly mother who taught me to pray and to know Jesus as my Savior. He knew where it came from. Can you put the slide there? So I'll put some slides there. Listen to how the prophet goes on from that. He says, oh, your family is what you are. You raise your child in a certain environment. It's got a 98% better chance to go right than it has if you bring it up the wrong way. So if you bring your child up the right way, it's got a 98% better chance of going right than if you don't have the right environment in your home. That just shows, like the prophet says, you are what your family is. If your family is full of unbelief, you're going to be full of unbelief. If your family is full of criticism, you're going to grow up as a critic. This influence is such a powerful thing. And the prophet is speaking of the influence. The message is the influence of another. And the greatest influence that you have, especially in the days of your youth, is your mother and your father. There's no greater influence. If I had to ask you in Britain now, who would you say is classed as the greatest role model when they ask teenagers? Taylor Swift. But mother is number two. I said, at least mother is still getting into the top 10 these days. But you ask yourself, but why is Taylor Swift, that singer, such a great role model? They look at her as a role model because that's what's presented before them all the time. That's what they're watching on the television, watching on the phones, watching on the iPads all the time, is these so-called role models. And what you present before somebody, that's going to become the role model to that person. But I was happy to see, but at least mother, their mothers are classed as number two. The second greatest role model, even in this godless society that we live in, this decadent society, is mother. There's something about a mother. There's something about the imprint that a mother leaves in the life of a person. You know, there's something that you can never replace your mother. Now, what your mother was, you know, I see the way the prophet loved his mother and the way he spoke about his mother. And he said, every day should be Mother's Day. It shouldn't just be one day, day of the year. He said, every day should be Mother's Day because there's a great blessing in a God-given mother. There's something that she can do that nobody else can do. Let's look at Moses. The influence that was in the life of Moses, if you read it in Exodus, it was because of his mother. Now, his father, I'm sure, was out in the mud pits and doing whatever. We know Amram was a godly man, and we know that he was a spiritual man, and God spoke to him about his son. But the real influence among the Jews, the Hebrews, was the mother, because the mother would spend so much time with them. Yeah, and that's where Satan attacks the family now. There was social wealth and all these things forcing mothers to work. And forcing mothers to have to go to college and spend time doing these kinds of things. Friends, it was never the will of God. It's never been the will of God for both mother and father to work. Sometimes we have to do it just because we don't have any choice in these kind of systems that we're in. But the perfect will of God is for the mother to fulfill her sacred obligation in life. And that's to spend her full time raising up children. That's the way that it was in the Bible. Now, the children were entrusted to their mothers. And Satan in his Eden now, he's perfected this system. And we see what the benefits, so-called, of this system that we're reaping. Now, we see the prophet says the teenage delinquency and all these things taking place. It's because the fabric of the family, the way that God set it up in the beginning, has been broken. And friends, I don't think that if we have a choice as a woman, you should choose to work. I don't really believe that's scriptural. The Bible says a woman should be a chaste keeper of the home. Amen. You know, for a season, or because maybe you have to. You know, there's certain times we have to do these things. God understands those things. But God's system is not for a woman to be out working. Amen. And for children to be left with other people. Because there's something about the mother. That's what the prophet continually says. He said, if the mothers would just spend more time with their children, he said, we wouldn't have all of this delinquency that we need. Amen. And sometimes it's the influence we put upon one another. You'll find that a mother will be influenced by somebody else, not influenced by the word or by the message. And we start seeing other people getting a big education and other people doing all these things. And we think, hey, maybe I'm being left behind. You're never being left behind if you're in the perfect will of God. You're never being left behind if you're in your position as a mother. You know, we decided that as soon as we got married that Gitana wouldn't work. You know, that although she was well qualified to work, but we said, no, while we're having children and the children are growing up, sometimes it's hard on one salary. Anybody who knows with one salary, it's not easy to raise a home and to do the things that you need to do. But I really do believe that that sacrifice that you make in that respect during those foundational years of when children are young, you'll reap the rewards down the way. You'll really reap the rewards. But sometimes it's not an easy thing to do. And like I say, the way the system is organized in these countries here, it's very ungodly. Because many times it forces the mothers to have to go and work. It forces them to have to go and meet certain requirements because the government tells them to do that. And it's not the way that it should be, saints. It really is a sad thing. But Moses now, it was by faith. Listen to what the prophet says in the message, Invasion of the United States. You know, he speaks in this message in Invasion of the United States. He speaks of how Satan moved in and he established his headquarters in Hollywood. And then he started to pump out now all of his influence right from the west coast of America through Hollywood and then from the picture shows, he says, it came to the televisions. And now we find the morals and the decay in morals and all of this. He speaks of it as the invasion of the United States. But he says, to you little mothers here this morning, He's going to show that God has an antidote to whatever Satan wants to bring in any age. And that's genuine godly motherhood. Motherhood is a real safeguard and a protection. It doesn't matter what Hollywood brings. It doesn't matter what filth Satan's Eden will spew out. But motherhood is a protection of the children. In those years of life when they need that kind of a protection, God gave a mother. A godly mother is the protection. And it's Mother's Day when he preaches this. And he says, to you little mothers here this morning, that's been real mothers. He says, I know there's many of you. He says, let me tell you something. God bless you. You're the fifth gospel. He says, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and mother. He says, that's the way that God has ordained this. He says, let me tell you what's in there for your children. Just a little thing. He says, I want to get on to it. And he starts speaking about Moses. So he starts speaking about there's something in there about motherhood for your children. He says, remember when Moses was a little boy, it was a mother who gave him his instruction. It was a godly mother who took little Moses on her knees and taught him all. She was his teacher, rather, under Pharaoh. Now think, Moses is put in Pharaoh's palace from when he's a young child, taken out of the basket. That was the most ungodly pagan system you could be under. That was just an influence of all these gods of Egypt and all of the immorality of Egypt in that palace. But when God knew that his servant, his prophet Moses, had to be raised up in Pharaoh's palace, God gave Moses a supreme protection, which was his mother. And that was such a super weapon that God used. The devil was taken unawares. Amen. Because the Moses' mother committed him in the ark into the Nile. And then God now gave that little child back to be nursed and to be until he was weaned of his mother. And it was that influence just of Joshebed and Amram, obviously. But the prophet always focuses on the mother. He says, took Moses on his knees and taught him. And she said, Moses, someday you're going to deliver the children of Israel. You're the boy that's called. Keep yourself pure and unspotted from the world, for you're the one. You're the one. And there was an influence about that. If you take the next slide, or sorry, I can do it from here. Listen to what the prophet says. He says, no other place do we know where he ever went to any seminary, any teaching at all he ever got. He stayed right in Pharaoh's palace, which was a heathen. But his mother taught him. That's a real mother. Amen. She taught him the precepts of the Lord. She told him how he must be holy. So this is what she was teaching him. Moses, you're surrounded by filth and ungodliness and nakedness and immorality and sensuality in Pharaoh's palace. Moses could have had any woman that he wanted. Moses could have lived such an immoral life. But this influence of his mother. Amen. There was something about this influence of a godly mother. She told him how and what he must live. How he must live even in the midst of that unbelief. And how, what God must do. Told him, one day my son, God's going to visit you. Because when you were born, God moved on the scene. God revealed to us that there's a call upon your life. Son, be expecting it. God's going to call you one day. Amen. That's what she was teaching him. What God would do for him. And it stuck with Moses all the days of his life. Amen. And any good, true, loyal mother that'll take her little babies instead of sending them to the picture shows and dances and so forth like that, she'll put them on her lap. Teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, that sounds like a simple thing. It's not a simple thing. We'll see it because you cannot project something to someone unless it's real to you. Amen. Unless Jesus is real to you, you can't make him real to anybody else. Amen. There's a difference between just reading the Bible to your children and projecting Christ to your children. Amen. It's a great challenge to all of us in this age, friends. That's how we spoke the other week about perfection. You know, about perfection is to be fully developed, to be fully equipped in your role. And friends, it's a process of coming unto perfection. But we've only got these children for a short space of time. where we can influence them in this kind of a way. Before the age and the influence of this life, the system of this life moves them out from under us. And friends, if we don't use that opportunity, knowing yes, we're going to make our mistakes and we have busy lives and all that, but I believe that God has given us the resources that we need if we just have the willingness and put it into His hands to put something upon our children the way that she put it upon Moses. That there was nothing that was in Egypt. There was nothing when Moses now went and learned all the wisdom of Egypt, like the Bible says, there was nothing that could take that influence away from Moses. There was nothing. That was a powerful influence to teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the prophet then says, let me now show you another mother. Straight the next paragraph. And he takes Herodias. And look what it says in Matthew 14 about Herodias. It says, but when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. Hey, imagine the influence of a mother to hate Elijah. You can influence your children to hate Elijah. Amen. She influenced her daughter to hate Elijah. Ah, friends, you wouldn't want to do that. You'd want to put an influence upon your children this age that they love Elijah. But John was Elijah in his day. And it was the influence of the mother that caused this girl to call for the death of John the Baptist. And the prophet says, now continuing on in invasion of the United States, one mother, speaking of Jochebed, taught hers the things of the world. The other mother taught hers the things of God. One became a great leader and a conqueror, immortal among men today, Moses. And the other is botched and in hell, Herodias' daughter. And taken thousand times thousands with her. See what I mean? Bring up a child in the way that it should go. Amen. Our friends, what an inheritance. What a difference that it makes when you bring them up. Now the prophet actually speaks about the statistics about that. I don't know if I have it here. But he speaks about, he says, we have the history. He says, we have the record of Herodias' daughter. He says, 70 of her offspring, of children and children's children, children's children. He says, and every one of them either became a prostitute or went to the gallows. He says, that's the influence of a mother like that. Amen. Hey, that's a serious thing to think of. That the sins of the parents are visited upon the generation to come and the generation after that. And that influence and that door that that woman opened up to make her children hate the message of the hour, John the Baptist, to hate what God was doing in that age. It didn't only stop with the daughter, it went on and on and on. That influence and that effect until it affected a whole lot of people. That's what the prophet says. Now the prophet speaking about Moses once again. You know, in the message, looking at the unseen. He's speaking now about the influence of his mother's teaching upon him. Now you think of these things which the Bible says about Moses. Let's just read Hebrews 11 there once again. Look at these characteristics that he had, verse 23. It says, by faith Moses, can we read verse 24? By faith Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now don't forget, he hasn't met the pillar of fire. He hasn't got there yet. He's going to get there 40 years from now. But it's the influence of his mother. He's looking at this world being offered to him. He's looking at all the honor and the riches and the esteem of Pharaoh's palace. And he says, I refuse to be called her daughter. Hey, friends, what an influence. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. If you put the next verse. Choosing rather. So something so influenced to make this choice to suffer affliction with the people of God. So when he looked at these mud daubers down there, because of the influence, because of what had been taught by his mother, he looked at them and he says, these are the sons and daughters of God. I'd rather forsake all of this riches, this throne of Egypt that's being offered to me, And I'd rather throw my lot in here with the despised of society, the children of God. And he hasn't met the pillar of fire. But he's been under the influence of his mother. Friends, this was a powerful spiritual influence. You can imagine the reward Jochebed's going to get up there. You can imagine she was such a predestined, prepared vessel who put herself in the hands of the Lord. And was so used of God to put such an influence upon this child, yet in Pharaoh's palace, that this young man, he made all the right choices in life. To suffer affliction rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So he knew what sin was. Who taught him what sin was? In Pharaoh's palace, it wasn't sin to do all of those kind of things. But this young man had such an influence. There was something so much that had impressed him and left something in his experience. That when he was in Pharaoh's palace, he knew that's wrong. Amen. When he would see them bowing down to the statues of Ra, and you'd see them bowing down to the statues of the Horus and the gods of Egypt, he'd say, I'm not going to do that. There's only one God, and his name is Jehovah. There's only one true God, and we are the people of God. And these are not my people. This world is not my home. This Egypt is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Friends, before he's met the pillar of fire. Ah, friends, to me, when I thought of it yesterday, I said, oh, Lord, may you bless mothers like this. May you bless fathers like this, who put this kind of an influence, that it has such a lasting impact upon their children, that it's a protection. It's a safeguard before they meet the pillar of fire. It's something that will keep them, something that will protect them until they get to that place that God comes and makes himself personally known to them. The pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Amen. Hey, he was offered far more than any of us could ever dream of being offered. He was taken, adopted as a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was a prince in Egypt. He had the world at his feet. He had anything at his beck and call. But when he weighed it up all in the balance, because of this influence inside of his life, he said, all of this riches and all that's being offered to me here, it's nothing. I want the reproach of Christ. Hey, the reproach of Christ. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. What brought him to the stage that he had such a respect for the things of God? Such a respect for the God of his father. Such a respect for what God had promised to deliver them from that place. That Moses, he had weighed all up and said, this is nothing. This is what I want. Yes, he went about it the wrong way. He tried to do it in his own strength and power. That wasn't his mother's fault. There was a purpose God had in allowing those things to happen. But friends, that influence of the mother in the life of this young man, it was such a powerful influence. It was such a spiritual influence that he could never get away from it. That shaped him, it led him, it guided him, and it kept him. In the message, looking at the unseen, the prophet says, Moses, when he had become 40 years old, a young man, and as far as sight was concerned, Moses had the world in his hand. He was the next Pharaoh of Egypt. He had all the lands in the world known at that time to be king over the entire earth. And yet, he looked through the window that Pharaoh looked out of, and he saw those Hebrews. Now look at the influence of Pharaoh. To Pharaoh, who looked upon them, they were nothing but a bunch of mud daubers. That was the influence that he grew under. That's what he was taught. These are mud daubers. These are just slaves. And the prophet says, but Moses looked through the same window at those same people and he saw life completely different. Amen. His whole world view was different than the world view of the world. Amen. Our friends, that would be our greatest legacy you and I could give to our children. Amen. That when they go to school and they're taught all of this nonsense about evolution, they look at it through the right world view. They say, yeah, we've got to learn these things, these theories which these scientists have made up. But they'll look at it through the worldview of faith. Amen. That they'll see those things. Even though they grew up in Pharaoh's household. Even though they have to be raised up in Egypt. But there'll be such a spiritual reality. Such an influence. Because friends, the things of God, truth, has a ring of truth. Now, if you try to teach people Santa Claus and all that, I mean, there's no ring of truth in those things. But when you start teaching people about Jesus, there's nothing that can leave such an impression deep down inside of the soul. Now, somebody's mind might rebel and they might try to argue and reason things out. But friends, a genuine spiritual influence concerning Jesus in the life of a person will never get away from it. They'll never get away from it. Because God has made our souls like that. If we're predestined unto life, when we hear of Jesus, even in the days of our youth, even if it's yet not the time of our visitation, yet if we haven't received our heavenly call at that time, but it does something to us. I remember my friends, one of them was a Satanist, and he used to have these pictures of demons in his bedroom, and this picture of the Ceres demon on his bedroom door. And we used to listen to all of this heavy metal music, AC/DC and Judas Priest and all that. But I always had something inside of myself, something that had been taught in my youth. When my parents just had a Catholic children's Bible in the home, and I would see those pictures of the plagues of Egypt. And you'd see the pictures of Noah's Ark. And you would see the judgments. And then you would see Jesus on the cross and all those kind of things. It did something. I knew there's a hell. There's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. And I knew that this which these guys are doing is wrong. And I used to tell them. And then when we used to get all the new CDs and I think it was Iron Maiden came out with 666 Number of the Beast. That was the name of the CD. That's one that I didn't buy. I had all the rest of them, but I said, I'm not taking 666 The Number of the Beast. Because you knew, you had a respect. There was something that put a fear there. Though you didn't know God, though you hadn't heard His voice, you didn't know the call, that there'd been some godly influence put that kept you from going as far as other children would go. Something that would restrain you. It doesn't mean that we didn't do things in the world, but there was a fear there. And when I'd see somebody with a Bible, you'd respect the Bible. And when we would walk past the Catholic Church and there was the crucifix and my friends would be mocking the crucifix, I wouldn't mock the crucifix. Because I'd look at the one that was on the cross and I'd know there's truth here somewhere. I may not know him, I may not know what this truly means, but there was an influence there. And friends, that's a legacy that you appreciate that was put inside of your life. But this world is going to hell rapidly, friends. Now, hell has opened its gates, it's enlarged its borders, it's vomited all its filth upon the world in this age. And friends, what hope do most of these young people have? Growing up right from when they're young in unbelief. Just Rachel came and told us, I think, some time back, saying, you know, I've got a friend at school, and she doesn't believe in Jesus. She says she believes in science. Imagine a young child, 5 years old, and she says, I don't believe in Jesus, I don't believe the Bible, I believe in science. Oh, friends, that kind of an influence isn't the influence that you want. You don't want that kind of an influence. Because you can influence your children to look at life through a certain worldview. And though the world may change, and nations may change, and empires may change, like with Israel, but they still look at the world through the same worldview. That we are the chosen people of God. That God raised up Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That God gave us this promised land. All these generations down the way. Because they teach their children and their children's children. And they do it in that kind of a way. The prophet says now, he says, but when Moses looked out at the same window, he saw them different. Ah, friends, why did he see them different? He was in the same palace. He was under the same education system, the same atmosphere of Egypt. Why did he see things different? Because of his mother. Because of the faith that was in his mother. Ah, friends, that's a serious thing to think about. I'll skip back. I skipped one here. Look what Paul said to Timothy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I persuaded in thee also. Amen. See how it came from his grandmother to his mother to Timothy. Amen. And then he became a mighty man in his day. That where did so much of the credit come from? The unsung heroes, friends. Mothers are unsung heroes. Amen. It's hard for them. They have to bring forth children in this life. They have to go through the hardships of childbirth. They have to rebuke the children crying in the midst of the night. They have to put up the children, change them, and all of those kind of things. It's not an easy thing, friend. But when you find a mother puts an influence upon her children, and those children grow up into the men and women of God in the next generation, God doesn't forget. Amen. The prophet says there's a great reward for godly mothers. Amen. There's a great reward. You and I may not acknowledge that. We may not see it the way that God sees it. But that is their role and that is their responsibility. And that is what God has conditioned and raised them up to be. And if they just submit themselves into the hands of God. Friends, mothers can have such an influence. Such an influence in the lives of people that you and I think many times you don't realize it. The prophet says he saw them different. Because he looked at the unseen. Who taught him to look at the unseen? Not just to look at the things that were around him. Somebody sat with him and says, Moses, my son, in a spiritual atmosphere, there's a God in heaven. There's a pillar of fire. There was Abraham, and there was Isaac, and there was Jacob, and there's angels, and there's demons, and there's heaven, and there's hell, and there's a God who has a purpose, and there's a world to come. Somebody taught him these things, so that he could look to the unseen before he meets the pillar of fire. He's looking to the unseen. He says, and he knew that God promised that he would deliver them. How did he know that? His mother taught him. His mother would say, Moses, you see what's going on here. You see this slavery. You see this bondage. Don't look at these people outside of the palace window as if they're slaves. These are the chosen people of God. They're not going to be here all the time. Just any time there's coming an exodus. And Moses, God has raised you up for that purpose. That was the influence that she had put upon her son. That he would deliver them out of that place and take them to the land of promise. He knew there was a promised land. Amen. Because his mother taught them he was a promised land. Amen. How do our children know there's a heaven and a hell? Because we teach them that. Amen. How do they know that there's angels and demons and all these kind of things? How do they know those things? Because we teach them. We can initiate them into the realm of the unseen at that age. If we just get in the spirit and put them on our knees and speak to them the things of God. It has an influence. It says, for he looked at the unseen. He saw the years that were coming ahead. He saw Egypt destroyed. Oh, friends, our children know that. At a young age, they know that any day now there's coming an Armageddon. They know there's coming a great earthquake. There's coming a collapse. You know, the other children of the world, they think this is going to go on for thousands of years. But our children don't think like that. Amen. They look at this world different. They see it through the eyes of the faith of their mothers and the eyes of the faith of their fathers. And that's how when they look at things, they don't look at things the way that the other children of the world look at things. And friends, that's a great legacy that you're giving to your children. That's a great legacy. And the scientists and the unbelievers and the godless men of the world like Dawkins and them, they recognize that. And they say it should be outlawed. They say, Dawkins says parents shouldn't be allowed to teach their children religion. He said, because it's like a virus. It's passed on from one generation to another. And I said, amen. Amen. I said, it's not a virus. It's a spiritual principle. Amen. It's a spiritual truth. It's spiritual reality and spiritual revelation that's been handed down from generation to generation amongst the sons and daughters of God. For God to continue his work, he raises up a seed in the earth. And he allows one generation to pass the baton on to the next generation. And like we said 2 weeks ago, friends, if we fail on this, we failed in all things. We can leave a big empire. You know, you could be the president of Microsoft. And you can leave billions to your children. And then what? And then what? That passes away. But you and I, God has entrusted us in our experience and by his grace, through what he's taken us through, what he's delivered into our hands of the message of the hour. He's given us something to leave for our children. A spiritual legacy. A spiritual inheritance, friends. We can't make the decision for them. But you can see from this, we can have such a great influence upon them. The way that they're going to see things. The way they're going to see this world. It's all going to be through our eyes. If God has entrusted them to us. And if we impart the faith that was once in us, like Eunice to Lois and Lois onto Timothy, whatever it was. It's the same principle. That's looking at the unseen. Now, he saw Israel all comfortably seated around Abraham in glory. Friends, he didn't see them in that condition there now. He said, these are the sons and daughters of Abraham. They're going to inherit the kingdom. And by faith, whose faith? His parents' faith. He chose. He made a choice because of their faith and influence upon him. He chose to take the worst the religion could give him and compare it with the best the world could give him. And he chose to suffer the reproach of Christ. Amen. Oh, friends, don't tell me that wasn't a powerful mother this man had. Don't tell me this wasn't a powerful thing that she left as an inheritance to her child Moses. It was a powerful thing that she did for this young man. And the prophet says he endured as seeing him that's invisible. Now let's look at the spiritual principle in the word. This is what God really, really instructed Israel to do. You find so many scriptures about it. He says, and these words which I command thee this day, this is the messenger, Moses, the prophet says, firstly, shall be in thine heart. Because you can't impart something that's not real to you. Amen. You can't impart a faith to your children if you don't have the faith yourself. Because it's not just words, it's a spiritual reality. Amen. That's why first it's got to be in your heart. Amen. It's got to be real to you. And then what? Verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. Let me tell you what this word diligently is. In Hebrew, the word is shinantam, from the word shanan. Diligently. To repeat. To iterate. Amen. To do something again and again and again. Amen. So that's how you teach your children. Again and again and again. And again and again and again. Amen. And again and again and again. Amen. Until you don't need to do it again. But that's what it is. Teach them diligently. Not just once. But it's got to be diligently for this to leave an impression, for this to have an influence upon them, so that it can do to them what it did to Moses. You've got to teach them diligently. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Ah, friends, that kind of an atmosphere in a home. What kind of influence is it going to put? Because your children, when you're speaking of these things in your bed, you're speaking of them when you're driving in the car, when you're on the way, they're going to see you love these things. Because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. But if you don't love them, how do you expect your children to love them? If these things aren't real to you, how do you expect to impart them in a way that's real to your children? It doesn't work, friends. It doesn't work. That's why it's got to be in our hearts first. And then we're going to speak from the abundance of the heart. We're going to continue to speak of these things again and again. Again and again and again. Now, listen what the prophet says. I'll read just before we get to this quote. Just to show this one about drilling it into them. You'll find the prophet uses this term many times. Drill it into your children. The world doesn't like us to speak like this, friends. It's saying you're indoctrinating them. Yes. Because the world's indoctrinating them with error, we're going to indoctrinate them with truth. Amen. They're being indoctrinated every day. Amen. They're being told man came from monkeys. Yeah? Right. They're being told there was some big bang and life just mysteriously came from some big bang. Maybe there was a big bang. Maybe God started with a big bang. But he's a creator with a design. Amen. And any rational thinking person, just looking even at the human eye, would say it's insanity to think this came by chance. Insanity. It's like bringing somebody from another planet and you show them one of the Boeing 777 Dreamliner. Yeah? Or you show them a Ferrari or a Lamborghini Countach and you say this happened by chance. They would say you're mad in the head. There's such a design here. The way everything fits together. This cannot be by chance. You cannot ever, no matter what you do to me, or tell somebody who has rational thinking that everything we see here came by chance. It's insanity. It's literally insanity. But our people, we were indoctrinated when we were young, and our children are indoctrinated by these things. and told that this all just came from some single cell. There was this magic soup of life. Maybe it came from the asteroids and it struck the earth, and now there was this primordial soup that was there. And magically some lightning or electricity struck the soup and now came the amino acids. Yes, that might be true. You can make a building blocks. You know, you can make things, the building blocks of what we made out of by doing things. But you can never put it together in an orderly structure and put life into it by chance. You can't. Friends, it's a deception. It's an indoctrination. That's what it is. And motherhood and fatherhood is God's divine defense. That when your children grow up, they're going to have to learn those things, but they're going to look at it different. They're going to look on both sides and say, I don't quite agree with these things. And friends, this world is full of the evidence of the flood. There's so much proof and so much evidence of a global deluge, a catastrophe. The great coal fields and different things. There's so many things. All the fossil beds and stuff. It's so much a proof. But it just depends on which way you're looking at it. If you're looking at it with your evolution glasses on, you're going to try to find those facts to fit evolution. But if you've inherited the faith of your parents, you're going to start looking at it through eyes of faith. And you're going to start seeing, this is evidence of a flood. This is an evidence of a deluge. This is evidence of God's judgment upon the earth. Just depends on which way you look at it. Just like Moses and Pharaoh looking through the same window, but they saw things completely differently. And that's what it's going to do, teaching them diligently. So the prophet says, about drilling this into your parents, children, he says, Elisha the prophet, Chicago, 1956, every evening when I'm home, I like this quote, because we did this and I didn't know that the prophet spoke of it. It says, every evening when I'm home, after everything's cleaned out, I take my little girls, this is 1956, and give them a Bible study. I put them in the car so that nobody interrupts us and ride around, wife and baby, and I give them questions like, who was Elijah? What was he? And right quick, the little six-year-old and eight-year-old girls say, a Tishbite. You see, right quick. And I'd say, how do you know? How would you tell if you met him today? What kind of a man would he be? Oh, he was a hairy man and had leather around his loins. Little Rebecca and Sarah wants to holler out, see? Then the prophet says, just keep drilling that into their minds. Drilling that. To drill from the dictionary means intensive instruction or training in something, typically by means of repeated exercises. Repeated exercises. That's exactly what God told Moses. Diligently. Over and over and over again. The prophet says, just keep drilling that into their minds. Drilling it constantly. That's what you do to your children, mother. Our friends, we've fallen into this one here. We just put them in front of YouTube. There's a time for YouTube. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But friends, we're failing as mothers and we're failing as fathers if that's all that we do. Amen. You just put them in front of something to watch the whole day. And sometimes I look at something, sometimes what parents of believers allow their children to watch, and I say, how can they allow them to watch this? Amen. Friends, if something's got wizards in it, don't allow them to watch it. Amen. If something's got witchcraft, if something's got all of those kind of things, you don't allow them to watch those kind of things. Amen. You've got to take it through the thinking man's filter. Amen. There are things out there they can watch. But sometimes you'll just see some of these things and say, but hey, these things are forbidden in the scriptures. Amen. Wizards and witchcraft and all that kind of stuff. Those things aren't allowed. The Bible condemns these things shall not be in Israel. Amen. So we shouldn't be allowing our children to watch those things. And that's why sometimes it's good to sit and watch it with them. And filter it, friends, before you allow them to watch it. Don't just leave them on those things. Because there's an influence. Satan has an agenda. Satan has invaded the world through Hollywood and so forth. And see the influence that he's pumping out, even through the cartoons and through these kind of things. You might say it's fanaticism. Yes. God called us to be fanatics in these things. God called Israel to be a nation of fanatics. Not to follow the nations round and about them. But to diligently keep his word. And to diligently instruct their children on those things. The prophet says here, quit running around over the city and gadding about. Give your children Bible lectures and things. That's the thing to do. Ah, friends. This age, it's so full of complication and pressure on time and pressure on us in so many things that it's so easy to put this down the list or on your agenda. But this is the most important thing on the agenda. Especially as mothers, it's the most important thing. When God's given you those years with those children, daddy has to go to work and do all these different things, and mother has that sacred trust and sacred responsibility. Let's not run away from it, friends. Amen. Let's not do a half job upon it. Let's seek the grace of God and say, Jesus, teach me and help me, Lord, to better fulfill the sacred trust that you've given unto me. Amen. It'll make a big difference, friends. That's how the prophecies drill it into them. He continues on in the same message, Elisha and the prophet, and he speaks about those children that were killed by the she-bears. Why? Because of the influence of their parents. Amen. Their parents never taught them to respect the prophet. Never taught them the reality of the rapture. Because when Elisha came now anointed, believing he was going to go up, yeah, he had seen Elijah go up, he believed in the resurrection, he believed in the rapture. What do those children say? Or you bald head, or you bald head, or you going to go up like the other one? They didn't believe it. They were mocking holy things. They were making sacred things profane. They were mocking God's prophet. They were mocking what God was doing in that age. And the prophet says, and here went the little kids. He says, bring up a child in the way that it should go. And here they went down because their parents didn't believe it. Why did they perish and their souls were lost? It was because their parents didn't believe it. They were in Israel. They should have believed the message of the hour. Amen. But they were in Israel, but the prophet and his message were not real to them. Therefore, they raised up their children. Their children didn't believe it. They're in the promised land. Then the prophet continues on. Now, this one's a bit of a stinger. I warned you before. He says, and how can you expect your children to go to Sunday school and serve the Lord when you yourself don't even go? Oh, friends, that's a serious one. That's a serious one. He's teaching us a principle here that you teach what you know, but you reproduce what you are. Every seed to bring forth of its own kind, you're going to reproduce what you are. He says, how can you expect your children to be something when you are nothing? He says, that's a little sassy. But I didn't mean it that way. But he had me to say it. This is not premeditated. He knew it was a stinger that he had just said to all of us, friends. It was a good, strong stinger to all of us. To say, you can't make your children something if you're not in that image yourself. That's what he's saying. He's saying, if you want to teach your children that it's so important to go to church and you don't go yourself. Or you want to teach your children it's important to be in Sunday school and you don't get them there on time. Friends, it's a serious thing that we're doing to our children. And we only go once a week and we put that influence upon our children. Then it becomes difficult for our children down the way because they say, but Dad, you're teaching us to do these things. Mom, you're teaching us to do this. But you didn't do these things yourself. Listen to what he says here. How can you expect your children to be righteous when you're putting such an example before them? How can you do it? You're the best example they have. That one made me really get sober when I read it yesterday. I said, Lord, they're never going to have a more influential example than their mother and father. That's the example. You are the best example they have. So what example are we putting upon them? It's not just what we say, it's what we do and what we are. That puts the real influence upon them. Amen. The prophet says they're going to look to you when they look. They won't look for no one else because your nature's in them. God made it that there's a compatibility between us and our children. He's put those children into our hands and he's equipped us according to their natures, their temperaments, everything like that. God has made it that we can be the supreme example to them. But you've got to stay in the Spirit. These things have to be done in the Spirit. We can do these things as a duty and it doesn't work. It just pushes them away. You can take the same things that somebody else is giving to their children and it's a defense and it's a protection to their children and you take exactly those things and say them to your children and it pushes them away from the faith because you're not saying it in the same Spirit. There's not the atmosphere that brings the results. That's how if the word is sown and there's not the moisture there, it can never bring forth of its own kind. That's why you've got to get it in your heart first. It's got to be real to you first. And like we said about Job's priesthood, friends, it's very hard to help somebody if you're not praying for them. But if you're really praying for somebody, you're going to be very careful the way that you handle things. And if you're praying for your children, if you're really putting them before the Lord, when you go now and try to present the faith that God has given to you, there's going to be a certain caution and respect the way that you're going to do it. It's an important thing, friends. That's why I said we need the grace of God, each and every one of us, in these things. Because this is what he's speaking about. We get on then to blind Bartimaeus. This is another example. Like I said, all these examples, I'm just saying these are quotes where the prophet said, bring up a child in the way they should go. These are all the times. Well, there's lots I didn't put, but this is when he's speaking of this principle about bringing your children up in the way they should go. And when they get old, later on, they'll not depart from it. That's the principle of the word. So the prophet, he speaks about blind Bartimaeus. And he has blind Bartimaeus. He's sitting by the highway side begging. He's blind. Now, life hasn't been easy for him. And God is bringing him now to a predestined time of meeting with his destiny. Because Jesus is going to pass through Jericho. And yeah, he's blind, and he's been blind since he was young. And you know all the things the prophet speaks about blind Bartimaeus. But now the prophet, every time, if you take the blind Bartimaeus messages, every time he speaks about Bartimaeus, he speaks about the influence of his mother. Amen. Every single time. Because one thing is a result of other things, friends. Amen. For Bartimaeus to be in a certain condition at that time when Jesus went by, there were multitudes of others there. There were lots of other blind beggars there. But why did this man respond at that time? Why did this man receive what others didn't receive at this time? Because of his mother. Because of what his mother had done to him in the days of his youth. That's what the prophet's going to show us. In Blind Bartimaeus, Edmonton, 1957, he says, Bartimaeus, he goes and he sits in the sunshine. And he says, that morning, he said, it was a little bit late, and he got up and went to the place that the beggars begged for money, but he got there, and already the people had given away their coins. So he went to the side, and he said, let me just go and meditate for a while. He went and he said, and he sat on one of the stones of the fallen walls of Jericho, and he started to meditate. And he says he started to think about the days of his youth. How precious it was in the days when he was young. And he says, and one of his greatest delights when he was young was to go in the afternoon before his nap time and let his mother get him up in her arms. And how he used to look at those big soft eyes. Like Brother Max was saying, you don't want a dominating female, friends. You don't want a woman to have that kind of a hard, dominating spirit. You want a mother to have a feminine spirit. No, a motherly spirit. To have like her big soft eyes. The way she looked at him. You know, maybe at other times she would shout at him and give him whatever he needed to keep him in line. But at this kind of a time she'd get soft. Because maybe she'd been in prayer and she'd been praying and saying, oh great Jehovah, you know, help me to say something to help my young boy today. And then when she'd take him up in her arms, now he'd look into those big soft eyes, the prophet says, of his mother, as she stroked his little black hair back out of his eyes. And she began to tell him Bible stories. You know, there's something about bringing up a child in the way that it should go. Teach it the right thing, and when it's old, it'll not depart from it. And he used to remember the stories his mother told him of a mighty Jehovah. How Jehovah used to blast forth his voice in a time of trial and change the situation. And that left an imprint. And he knew there's a God in heaven who can change the situation. There's a God in heaven on a regular basis that's intervened in the affairs of simple people. Like Moses at the backside of the desert. And all the different things that his mother would tell him of. And it conditioned this man. When he grew up now as a blind man, inside of himself there was some kind of an expectation. There was something in him that he knew. There's a God who can change things. Ah, friends. What a legacy his mother left him. To leave in the soul of this man an expectation of that there's a Jehovah who can change things. He says in Blind Bartimaeus Phoenix, he says, we see him sitting there in the warm sunshine. His mind goes back many, many years. Can you see how long this influence lingers, friends? When as a little Jewish boy on the Palestinian hills, he was frolicking and running and the shock of black hair around his head. He could look up and see the stars at night and could see the pretty flowers blooming along the Jordan. Now he's blind. He could see the beautiful blue skies in the daytime. He's remembering all the precious memories of his youth. And then comes a real precious memory. I don't know, I forgot a chair. And one of the greatest thoughts was a sweet old mother that he used to have that had passed on many years before. But she had left him an inheritance. She had left him prayer that she had stored up for him. She had left him faith that she had imparted to him. This was a legacy. She had passed on many times before. I just want to see if I have the quote. And the prophet says, how she used to take him in the afternoon out on the porch that faced over towards the Jordan. And when she would rock him and talk to him and tell him the Bible stories, as it used to be a custom of Jewish mothers to always drill in their child the Bible. It's too bad we Gentiles don't do the same. It's too bad, saints, that we Gentiles don't do the same.
Amen.
It's too bad.
Amen.
And saints, let's repent today if you're not doing it. Amen. Let's repent, friends. It's something more important than your education.
Amen.
It's something more important than building up whatever it is that you wanted to build up in this life. All of these other things you leave to your children, not one stone will be left upon another.
Amen.
But this particular legacy you can leave for your children will never pass away.
Amen.
This is an everlasting legacy. This legacy will last as long as there's a heavens and an earth.
Amen.
It's the most important thing you can do.
Amen.
The prophet said it's too bad that we Gentiles don't do the same. But now we turn our children to a Sunday school teacher. Friends, we so appreciate our Sunday school teachers. They do a wonderful job. But that's not it. For 20 minutes on a Sunday morning. And then we let them lick the streets with the world the rest of the week. What kind of hope do they have, friends? You allow them to have 20 minutes in the hands of somebody else who God will bless for what they've done. But the real person who should have been doing it is you and me. Because God entrusted that life into our hands. God allowed that child to be born of your womb. God allowed your seed to bring forth that life. And friends, that's a sacred trust.
Amen.
It's a sacred trust. He says, but what we need is to bring up the child in the way that it should go. And when it gets old, it will not depart from him. Then he continues on. How his mother used to drill into him always to love and to respect Jehovah. Oh, friends, you can influence your children to love Jesus. You can ask them, who's the greatest person? They'll say, Jesus. They've never met him yet. But they know Jesus is the greatest man that was ever born. There was no one like Jesus. There'll never be anybody like Jesus. Because of your love for Jesus. Because to you, Jesus is the greatest man that was ever born. That's why they end up believing he's the greatest man that was ever born. And because you believe this is the inspired, unfailing word of God, they believe this is the inspired, unfailing word of God. When the world is saying all manner of evil and trying to contradict. But friend, you've imparted something. Something sacred and something precious. And something that the devil will try his best, but he'll never take away. He'll never, if it's imparted the right, because the Bible says, train them up in the way they shall go. And though they'll depart, they'll come back to it. That's a wonderful promise in the Word of God. We're finishing with this thought.
The prophet says to love and respect Jehovah. And how we love to hear the story of how the people were brought out of Egypt. How a great light followed them. They followed this light. How that he opened up the Red Sea. And God let his children pass through. The brazen serpent. And many stories that was told him. Friends, you're never going to find better stories than here. Amen. Never. You can go and take Man of Steel, Superman, and all those things. You can go and take Superman, Batman. You can take all of these things put together. You're never going to find better stories in here. Never. The story of the Exodus. The story of David and Goliath. The story of Samson. What about Jesus? Huh. What about Paul on the way to Damascus? What about Peter the fisherman? What about John being caught up in the heavenly vision? Friends, imagine the riches that's in here, the resources that's in here. Oh, friends, there's nothing greater than the Bible stories. Because they're true and they're real. They're inspired and God has customized them in a certain way to strike home because they're true. Then they'll do something that none of those other stories can do. They'll do something in the soul of your children because it's God's eternal word. And those are the things that they loved. The prophet says, Bartimaeus, now he speaks about Jesus coming. Now, that mother, she may have taught Bartimaeus and then seen him go a little bit astray in his teenage years. And then maybe she died praying for him on her bed at her old age and saying, oh, Jehovah, please watch over my son because now he's blind. And then he goes maybe some years and he goes some years and maybe he just goes to the synagogue and he, you know, maybe he's just not really that committed or whatever, but he believes. But the prophet now says, Bartimaeus, when Jesus passed by, those great scriptures that he'd had in his mind and in his heart since he was a little boy, every one of them seemed to press right up then. Amen. See, in the time of need, the prophet says, oh, when a man's in need. Ah, oh, friends, that's the key. You've deposited a seed. Amen. Now in due season, when that child's in need, when it's their time of visitation, when Jesus is passing by, God has something he can quicken in them. Amen. God has something that he can activate inside of them and may have lain there dormant for years. But the prophet says every one of them seemed to press up right then. Oh, when a man's in need. If you feel your need of Christ tonight, everything you've ever heard about him will come right forward. Oh, when he's about to do something for you, all of a sudden the things of the Bible become real. Amen. You start putting yourself in the Bible stories. You start thinking, but oh Lord, you were so real then, surely you're the same today. Amen. And why are you doing it? Because somebody taught you those things. Because somebody told you there was a God who raised the dead. Somebody told you there was a God who healed the sick. And that was a seed of faith that you've implanted in the soul of your son and your daughter. And you may have passed into the realm beyond the curtain of time. And then God has his appointed time. The prophet says that. They all come right forward. He says, at this time, all those teachings of Jehovah being the mighty deliverer sprang to him. What was it? He had a need. And he rose to his feet and he screamed, O Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Friends, it became real. He knew this is real. All of a sudden his time came, God's appointed time in his life. And the Spirit of God drew near. And now he had a faith in him. He knew what to do. He knew how to cry out. He knew there was a God who was going to respond. He knew what to expect. But what about all the other young boys that were there that day? What about all the other blind beggars that sat there? What about all the rest of the people in the crowd that were criticizing Jesus when he went by? Friends, Bartimaeus' mother left him a legacy. Left him something that was so precious in his experience. And God came and quickened that in due season and brought it to life. And Bartimaeus started to sense that there was a purpose and a destiny. Bartimaeus started to realize that, oh, this God that I've heard of, he's real. He'll do it for me today the way he did it for people before. And that was the influence of his godly mother upon him. The influence of his godly mother. Our friends, it'll never fail. It'll never fail. Listen to what he says. We'll finish with this. Why are we not a denomination? Okay, I'll just read from Timothy. Look at what it says about Timothy. Think about Bartimaeus. Paul said to Timothy, "And that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." Amen. Oh, friends, you might say, but he hasn't yet come to the Lord. It's okay. Just keep imparting the faith. Because you're imparting something that makes him wise unto salvation. You're imparting, you know, the way that it works, if I have to say it like this, friends. Bartimaeus in the arms of his mother. That was Bartimaeus' former reign. That's when the teaching reign went forth. And the anointing came down, the soft anointing of the former reign. And the seed was sown. And then there comes a long dry spell where there's no rain. And now when Jesus was passing by, it was Bartimaeus' latter rain. That which had been sown before. When that anointing of the latter rain came down now, the dynamic power was there. Bartimaeus' eyes came open. Oh, friends, let's be faithful in the former rain with our children. Let's make an atmosphere. Let's make sure there's showers of heaven's blessing, the dew of heaven that comes down when we're fellowshipping with them about these things. So that that seed can go into soil and can take a root. And friends, they may then go out from your sphere of influence and the devil will do his best. But friends, believing that our children are predestinated because God gave them to us and claiming them, like the prophet says, under the token of the blood. We believe there's coming a latter rain. We pray to see it sooner rather than later. Oh, we've seen it in some of the young people, how wonderful that it is. They've had a latter rain experience. When what they heard of the God of their fathers and the God of their mothers became their God. He's not just the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's my God. He revealed himself to me. But friends, there was labor that went behind that. And God will never forget that labor of love that you're putting into his sons and daughters. Especially you Sunday school teachers. May God bless you richly. We so appreciate the influence you put upon our children. And may God ever keep you waiting upon him to put that influence the right way. And you mothers and you fathers that are bringing up your children the right way, there's a huge portion of heaven waiting for you. Because that's God's great antidote in this age. Now the prophet explains this. And why are we not a denomination? Paragraph 3, right at the beginning. He said, "It was certainly good, Brother Jeffries, to get to shake your hand back there. And also to hear your boys sing that song. And you playing." So the father was playing and the boy went and sang an item, his son. I kind of like that. Father and son. He says, don't you like that? Bring up a child in the way that it should go. That's right, Mr. Gunter. You know that's right, both of you. The children were in the faith. Bring up a child in the way that it should go. And when he gets old, it'll not depart. Amen. That's true. Now he explains it. There may be sometimes that he may depart from it, but it won't depart from him. It won't depart from him. He may depart from it for a season, but it won't depart from him. And coupled with your prayer and your anguish before the Lord, and you offering the burnt offering on each individual altar for your children as Job did, our friends, you storing up incense before the throne. You may pass off the sin. You may never see it in your day. But God has an appointed time. And those prayers will be poured out before the throne and come up before the Lord as a sweet savor. And he'll remember. And the latter rain starts to come down. And although that child may have departed from the faith for a season, that faith will never depart from them. Never. It won't depart from him. It will always stay with him. It says that early training and whatever he's been brought up to do, it will certainly stay with him. What an encouragement, friends. That we need to keep looking to the unseen. Don't just look at the seen. Don't just look at, my son's like this, my daughter's like that. Love the Lord with all your heart. Amen. store up the word in your heart. Create an atmosphere. Go before the Lord. Make intercession before the Lord. Seek an opportunity. The prophet says, go to them with that anointing upon you. He says, it's the anointing that'll do it. He says it in the token. Go to them with that. And friends, God is faithful. God is so faithful. He stores up the prayers of a godly mother. This mother and father of the prodigal, friends, they stored up prayer. They'd given him a godly influence. They'd started him on the wrong path in the days of his youth. Then he got caught up. He got away from the faith of his father and his mother, but it never got away from him. And then in his time of need, when he was down there feeding the swine, when he had holes in his trousers, when all of his fair weather friends had left him, there came a latter rain. And all that had been sown in him in the days of his youth, he said, in my father's house, oh, there's an atmosphere there.
Amen.
In his house, there's bread enough. People don't treat one another like this in my father's house. He treats his servants. They have even spare bread to spare the servants in the house. Oh, Father, I've been a fool. How could I stray from the God of my youth? How could I stray from you, the God of my fathers? And the angel of the Lord was persuading him to say, arise.
Amen.
Go back to your father's house. Friends, that's the principle of God's word.
Amen.
It's wonderful what God has given to us, friends. He's given us his life. The Holy Ghost, he's given us the message of the hour. He's given us faith. You may not have a big bank account. I don't. You may not have a big legacy in this life. None of us here do. That's not important. If God gives it to you, wonderful. If it doesn't, that doesn't matter. But he's given you something that cannot be taken away. He's given you something that will withstand whatever it is that the devil will throw at it. He's given you the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And that's the greatest thing you can give to your son and your daughter. That's the greatest thing you can impart. Friends, it's an everlasting legacy. It's an eternal legacy. And like we said the other week, when Job now, when his seven children died, they never died. They never died. He had trained them up in the way they should go. The prophet says, they didn't die, they slept. And they were waiting for him. And so God gave him another seven children. And in heaven he had double portion, he had 14. Because of the faithfulness of a father. But friends, I see one weakness in the story of Job. I'm sure you see it as well. The mother. And Job in his time of need, why don't you curse God and die? Friends, you don't want to be that kind of a mother. And it's the father giving all the instruction to the children. You believe those children are there because of the faith of the father, not because of the faith of the mother. But I'm sure God wants it to be a unit, a teamwork, a harmony of father and mother. The mother imparting things the way that God has raised her up, and the father imparting and the mother imparting their diverse ways. And one sowing and one watering. In God being the one to give the increase. Let's keep them in prayer, friends.
Amen.
Let's keep them in prayer. Amen. And let's keep ourselves before the Lord.
Amen.
And let's do what the prophet says. Let's do what the word admonishes us to do. Let's be diligent as we raise them up. Let's stand. I'd love to meet Bartimaeus' mother. I'm sure that you wouldn't as well. Or Joshua up there, you'll go and shake her hand and say, sister, you inspired me in the days of my pilgrimage. That those kind of lives, like we put there on the forum the other day when Brother Perry Green died, that when the Psalm of Life, lives of great men, all remind us that we can make our lives sublime. And in parting, leave behind us footprints in the sands of time. Footprints that others can follow as well. What a legacy that God leaves for us. Let's sing that one. Because you have chosen the narrow way.
Because you have chosen a narrow path, the hardest way. There's a great portion of heaven,
whoa,
is waiting for you because of what you decided. That was a prophecy.
Was a prophecy.
The angel told to the great messenger. That is what will produce great victory in the love divine.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path. Steps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me. This path has many trials and many battles against the enemy. But his Holy Spirit, oh, will lead us to perfect love.
Oh, there is not much time remaining.
There is not much time remaining. In this path, we can already hear the chariots of our beloved one.
Oh, our beloved one,
coming to meet us.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me. Oh, I will walk this path. I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me.
Oh, that divine love will live.
That divine love will live in me.
Oh, I desire that divine love will live in me.
That divine love will live in me.
Just before we sing that song, Ancient Words. Now, the Lord never asks you to do something that he hasn't first done. You think about it, what he's done. All of his children, he put his seed in you.
Amen.
Before he puts you into battle, before he allows you to go into this world of deception, he put his seed in you. And then he himself came and gave us the perfect example, Jesus. And he left us the footprints, the bloody footprints for us to walk in. And in the due season, he comes with your letter in. And he meets you down the way and he quickens the seed in you. And the devil might have got a hold of you for a season. You might have been doing this and that and the other. But friends, he's not going to lose any of his children because of that seed, and he quickens the seed, and the seed comes to life, and you break free from the shackles and the bondages of Egypt. And you start saying, but I'm not one of the Pharaoh's daughter, but I'm a son of God. And I'm called to a purpose, and there's a promised land, and God has sent a prophet, and there's a pillar of fire, and there's an exodus. And all of a sudden, you start to believe things that you're blessed in to believe. Our friends, our Father's been so faithful to us. Let's be faithful to our children as well. Let's sing that one, Holy Words, Long Preserved.
Holy words, long preserved for our world. on high. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, oh, words of hope. Give us strength, Lord, help us to cope in this world where we roam. Ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Oh, ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words long preserved for our world. Oh, in this world they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Oh, ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words, ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Holy words of our faith,
holy words of our faith, handed down to this age. They came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words long preserved for our world. In this world they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Oh, ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Ancient words,
ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
We have come,
we have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
To all our friends, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, friends, don't you want the words to be imparted?
Hallelujah.
You know who's going to impart them? You're going to impart them.
Amen.
And I'm commissioned to impart them, ancient words.
Amen.
Let's come to a time of prayer. Let's pray for the mothers in this place, that the Lord will help them. Let's pray for the fathers.
Hallelujah.
Let's bring ourselves before the Lord. Father, we bring ourselves before the Lord upon this day because we do appreciate and we thank the Lord for your grace and for your mercy.
Oh, Father, Jesus, we come, Lord, indeed before the Lord, even upon this day. Work and its days, Lord. Lord, friends, Lord, and its days, Lord. And all the various things, Lord, Savior. Lord,
all we desire, Lord, is to put thee first in all things, Lord. To put thee first, Lord, even amidst our lives, Lord. That we would live, Lord, even a blessed and a holy life, Lord. Truly dedicated unto thee, Lord. Leaving behind us, Lord, that legacy, Lord. Father, Lord, that if we, Lord, Savior, would continue on, Lord, our children would pick up, Lord, and be blessed by thee, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name.
Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. Oh, we have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words depart.
Ancient words,
ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. Oh, we have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. Oh, we have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words depart.
Saints, let's pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Let's renew our vows. I know these kind of messages, and so is, I know certain people have a nature, and they look at what the Word says, they look sometimes at their shortcomings, and they say, you know, what's the point? It's not like it, friends. This is a journey that we are. Let the Word just minister you today from where you are to the next stage of the journey. None of us have got to perfection yet. I don't think there's anybody here put up their hand today and say, I'm a perfect father. Is anybody else a perfect father? Or a perfect mother. I don't think anybody would do that. But friend, God gives us His Word for a purpose. To take us from where we are. And to move us along. So may the Lord help us as mothers and fathers to move another stage closer to perfection. And to do that, you need to rededicate yourself. You need to pledge in this late hour, with all this ungodliness around us, you need to pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Who pledges allegiance to the Lamb? With all my heart, with all I am, let's pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Allegiance to the Lamb. To the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to I've heard of Christians long ago who were put before a tyrant's throne. They were told that he would spare their lives if they would denounce the name of Christ. But one by one, they chose to die.
Oh, they chose to die for the Son. For the Son of Man, they would never deny.
Like a great angelic choir sing,
oh,
I can almost hear,
oh,
their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to,
oh, to the Lamb.
With all my strength,
with all I am,
I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to
Lamb.
Now the years have come,
ooh,
and the years have gone,
ooh, but the course of Jesus, oh, it still goes on.
Now our time has come. count the cost to reject this world and embrace the cross. But one by one, let's live our life. Oh, let one who died to give us life, till the trumpet sounds on the final day. Oh, let us proudly stand and boldly say, oh, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength.
Oh, my strength,
with all I am.
Use me, Lord, I
seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Oh, to the Lamb of God.
To the Lamb of God. Who bore my sin.
Hallelujah, thank you, Lord.
Who took my place.
Who bore
my shame. I will seek to honor His command.
Oh,
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Oh, I pledge.
I pledge allegiance to,
oh, to the Lamb.
With all my strength,
with all I am,
I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to,
oh, to the Lamb. Oh, let's pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Amen, saints. Let's pledge allegiance. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's sing one more. We ask Brother Will to come and pray for us. Do you have one there, Brother George, for us? Our friends, you can't pledge allegiance to anyone greater than Him. He's the only one who's perfect. He's the only perfect example. He's the only one who shed His blood for you and for I. He's the only one who lived everything that He preached.
Hallelujah.
He's the perfect one. He's the one who's worthy of our allegiance, friends.
My boat of life sails on troubled seas. Whenever there's a wind in my sails.
Hallelujah.
But I have a friend who watches over,
He watches over me.
When the breeze turns into a gale,
oh, hallelujah.
I know the master of the wind. Oh, I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm and make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind.
Oh, sometimes I soar,
like an eagle to the heights. Above the peaks my soul can be found. An unexpected storm may drive me from the heights. It brings me low but never brings me down.
Oh, I know
the master of the wind.
Oh, I know my blessed Redeemer.
I know never make an offering.
He can come and storm and make the sun to shine again.
I know the Master of.
Master of the way, I know my blessed Redeemer.
I know the Maker of the
rain. The Maker of the rain.
He can calm a storm and make the sun to shine again. I know the Master of. I know the Master of the rain.
I know the Maker of the rain.
Yes, Lord. He can calm the storms and make the sun to shine again.
I know the Master of.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we glorify your holy name.
Yes, Lord.
For indeed you are the Master of the wind.
Yes, Lord.
You are the Maker of the rain.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
Lord, there's so many families, Lord, where there's a storm in the family.
Hallelujah, Lord.
But today, oh God, you have come and you have shown us
yes.
how to coast above the storms of life.
Yes, Lord.
Oh God, you have shown us, Lord, beyond any doubt, Father.
Yes,
Lord, how to run our families.
Yes,
how
Lord.
To go against the enemy when he
yes,
comes
Lord.
Like a flood.
Yes,
Father, we are thankful, yes, Lord.
Oh,
God, how merciful you are.
Yes.
For you never bring a word
Amen.
And then not anoint us to carry it out.
Yes, Lord.
And we feel it charged in the air this
yes,
afternoon.
Lord.
The anointing
Hallelujah.
Of thy word
yes,
that has come
yes,
to equip us, oh God,
yes,
with heavenly wisdom.
Yes.
Yes, to run against the enemy,
yes,
to bring down the strongholds
Hallelujah,
of every
Lord.
Enemy that
yes,
is coming
Lord.
Against our children.
Amen.
Lord, we rebuke Satan
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, and we take upon us, Lord, thy holy word
yes,
that has been imparted unto
Amen.
Us, so far,
yes,
that we may fight this war
Hallelujah.
Against this enemy.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
We thank you. Help
yes,
us, O God,
yes,
and have
Lord.
Mercy upon us. Every
yes,
brother,
Lord,
every
Jesus,
sister,
yes,
every mother,
yes,
oh God,
yes,
to
Lord,
take
yes,
our
Lord.
Positions, Lord,
help.
In this great war.
Oh, yes,
oh Lord God, I pray
Amen.
That you would help me and my wife,
yes, Lord.
Lord, oh Father,
help
to
us,
fight
Jesus.
This battle
yes,
with
Lord.
All that's in me, oh
Amen.
God,
yes,
for
Lord.
The sake of my children.
Amen.
I pray, oh Father,
Amen.
That
Amen.
It be
Amen.
The
yes.
desire of every mother,
yes.
that it be the desire of every father
yes,
this afternoon.
Hallelujah.
To take the things that were spoken
yes,
that
Lord.
We may leave them oh God
yes.
Father we always ask
oh.
how do we apply the token
yes,
that has
Lord.
Been shown unto us
yes,
this
Lord.
Afternoon
Hallelujah.
Therefore
yes, Lord,
Lord
thank you.
Oh God Almighty
Hallelujah. Yes,
what
Lord.
Excuse will we have
Amen,
on the
Lord.
Day of judgment
yes,
if we
oh.
neglect this word Father
oh,
I pray have
Lord.
Mercy
yes.
help us and forgive us Lord
Please,
where
Lord.
We have failed in the past,
yes.
but we are determined, oh
Hallelujah,
God,
Lord.
That we will go forward.
Yes,
we will not look back,
yes,
but
Lord.
We will do even as according to thy will.
Please,
Lord, may you bless our brother Andrew.
Please,
oh,
Lord.
I pray you'd continue to give
Please,
him more
Lord.
And more grace.
Yes, Lord.
Increase
yes, Lord.
His ministry for
Please,
the sake
Lord.
Of your people.
Hallelujah,
I pray,
Lord.
Father,
yes, Lord.
The
yes,
same
Lord.
Blessing upon our musicians.
Yes,
that
Lord.
You use them mightily, oh
Please,
God,
yes.
Father, to minister us into worship, Lord.
Hallelujah.
I pray have mercy
yes,
upon
Lord.
Every brother, every sister
yes,
that's
Lord.
Laboring, Lord.
Hallelujah,
Father,
Lord,
for this
yes, Lord,
to
yes.
be a reality.
Amen.
Oh, we thank
yes.
you, Father.
Yes.
But
Hallelujah.
Above all things this afternoon,
yes.
Lord, Lord, I pray a blessing upon every mother, Lord, yes, upon Lord. Every father. Amen. And Lord, we may take these words yes, to heart, yes, that we may Lord. Let them yes, become reality to us, oh, and yes. that we may impart it unto our children. Amen. We thank you, Father. Yes, we glorify your holy name.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we yes, love Lord. You, Father. Yes, and Lord. I pray, Father, as we go home,
you, Father,
help
Lord.
Us, yes, Father, yes, that our meditation yes, may be upon these words.
Please,
let us not be hearers only, Father, but that, Lord, we may meditate upon this
Amen.
Word and never depart from it, Lord,
yes, Lord,
that it may be our daily bread. We thank you, Father. We pray, Father, thanking you for this service.
Hallelujah,
what a difference
Lord.
It has made in our lives.
Amen.
Let it be continually this way. We pray for the great need we have in
yes.
our church.
Hallelujah.
Lord, how we desire a new place.
Yes.
Help us and lead us unto it, Father.
Yes,
all things are possible
Amen.
To them that believe.
Hallelujah.
And we believe this afternoon
you,
that you have something in store for us, Lord. We thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Even as we depart, Lord,
Amen.
May we go with your grace. Lord,
Hallelujah.
I pray, even as yes, our brother Lord. Has requested, Father, oh God, for good weather this afternoon.
Yeah. Hallelujah,
Lord, oh God,
yes,
you
Lord.
Are the master Let of
yes,
these things.
Yes,
and we
Lord.
Speak in the name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ,
Amen.
That
Jesus.
It may be even according
Amen.
To his desire.
Yes, Lord.
We ask for sunshine.
Amen.
Let it shine forth, Lord.
Let
the in the name of
yes,
Jesus
Lord,
Christ, we commit every need.
Amen.
And what a wonderful thing to see our daughter, Lord,
oh, yes,
Father,
Lord.
Testifying.
Hallelujah.
And, oh God, I pray
yes.
your blessing upon her.
Bless
Father, may
yes.
you bless her in that job.
Hallelujah.
Father, not only her, but
yes.
every other child.
Yes.
Lord, may you bless
Amen.
Them,
Amen.
That this also
Amen.
May become
yes.
a reality.
Yes.
We thank you, Father.
We do thank you.
In the name of Jesus
in
Christ,
Jesus.
We commit every other request to you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Our friends, we're so glad we have a Father.
Amen.
And he knows our name. Wouldn't it be fine if your children could grow up and say, I have a Father. He knows my name. Oh, friends, let it be so. That one, but I have a maker's man. Yeah, sorry.
I have a maker before my heart. Before even time began, my life was in his hand. He knows my name. He knows my every thought.
He sees.
He sees each tear that flows. And cheers me when I go. I have a Father. He calls me his own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. My name.
He knows.
He knows my every
thought.
He sees
each tear
that falls and cheers me when I go.
Oh, I'm a, and I could.
I have an anchor. My life.
He placed me in this world.
By faith you see me
through.
He knows my name.
He knows
my every thought. Tear that falls and cheers me with. tear that falls and tears me when I go.
Since we want to have a communion service, we're trying to fit in different ways, but we'll have it for next Saturday evening. Maybe the last time we'll be here. Next weekend, who knows? What a wonderful way if you finish with communion. Let's come, 6 o'clock Saturday. Come for communion. Let's come and honor his death. Let's come and honor the fact that he remember his death until he come. The following weekend as well, we're in the middle of arranging something for youth. The youth wanted just one more something before they really set into the term. So we're trying to arrange something up in Northern Ireland together with Brother Tom for the weekend, for Saturday and Sunday. So I really would ask you to pray for that as you make the arrangements. It'll be a good thing. When people have the fire, keep it burning. Amen. Keep feeding the flame. That's the most important thing. So please pray for those things. Let's dismiss as we sing that song you were singing. Surely around here. And God bless us as we dismiss.
Surely around here, his throne comes down. Surely around here, the door to heaven is found. And we know.